Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
It's time to start a new chapter.
Let's begin now.
Offensively, we need to start faster than what we did, obviously. Defensively, gave up too many explosives, and then special teams didn't play like they're capable of doing.
Don't worry, we're totally fine.
We dug ourselves into a hole. Credit to the guys. They made it a game there in the second half, but just wasn't enough when you're facing a good team on the road like that.
Don't worry, we'll get it up again.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
They'll be back
in 2 weeks.
We are kicking their ass.
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell, joined once again by Herb Howard of the Bigs. Follow Herb on Twitter at HerbHoward411, Twitter or X, whatever you call it. Herb, great to talk to you again. It's been a minute. Let's recap Bears-Packers. Most fans I've talked to, reporters, nobody seems too worried after that loss, Herb. And I know it's moral victories has come up over the past couple of days since that loss at Green Bay. What were some of your takeaways from the Bears' 28-21 loss to the Packers?
Yeah, I think the problem they've had all year came back to bite them against a good team that's not going to let you just, you know, storm back and steal the game late. I know they did. They were able to come back and tie it up, but that takes so much energy to be able to do. And then it's just hard to finish on that. And so, for me, the Bears just have to start faster. And I'm, you know me, KP, I'm not one for no moral victories or none of that. We just wrapped up the Herb Howard Show, and I was just saying that I'm not here for moral victories of no conversation like that. So that's not a real thing in the National Football League. Fortunately, you know, just talking to the coaches and the players, they understand that. So they're not really feeding into that type of conversation. Go win the game. Mm-hmm. The Bears beat the Packers in Lambeau last year with a much worse team. So how we go up there and lose by 7 and walk away with some moral victory was just strange to me. But they got to start faster, man. You love how they play in the second half. You love how they fight and compete to the end. But if you start faster and take advantage of some of the early opportunities, you don't put yourself in that position. And so for me, it was just the way they've played all year, coming back to bite them against a very good team on the road.
And right after the game, sorting through the game, it's okay. Ben Johnson made some serious adjustments at the half, and they were able to rally. And then Ben Johnson was asked yesterday about halftime adjustments, and he said there were no halftime adjustments. It just came down to execution and playing better. So to your point, they weren't firing on all cylinders to begin the game.
No, that was actually my question to him yesterday, yeah. And he was like, like, you mean me? What adjustment did I make? I'm like, yes, sir. You. What adjustment did you make? And he's like, none.
Yeah.
I didn't do nothing. I called the game exactly as we drew up the game plan. We just executed better. And so, you know, they got to do the same thing in the first half to put themselves in a better position to kind of dictate the flow of the game. When you talk about time of possession, when you talk about running the ball, when you talk about what you're able to do defensively to attack quarterbacks and attack opposing offenses, that matters if you get out to a lead or not. That kind of dictates what you're able to do and what you're not able to do. And so, you know, I just think they need to start faster, get some points on the board earlier in the games, and then, you know, we all expect them to play well in the second half.
Yeah, you know, I say moral victories, and maybe that's not the best way to put it, because I'm with you. There are no moral victories. And I think when the moral victory thing comes up, it's more for fans, you know? Like, the players,
yeah,
they don't care about that. The coaches don't care about that. I think maybe a better way to put it is just that, it looked different than most Bears-Packers games I've seen in my life. And I realize they beat the Packers, as you said, last season up at Lambeau. But there was a moment the Packers really could have pulled away in that one, and they didn't. And the Bears were right there at the end. So to me, it's not a moral victory. It's, I would say, encouraging in some ways, though, because they were right there. Bears are a legit playoff team. Packers look like one of the best teams in football, in my opinion, and they've been rolling over the past 3 or 4 weeks. So the Bears were right there. They were close to tying that game. Maybe Ben Johnson goes for two late in that game for the win. And I thought Ben Johnson handled the clock great. I know there was some criticism there, but if they get that first down on fourth They had two timeouts. I mean, I love the way Ben Johnson was handling the clock late, especially with the three timeouts. But I think to me...
Yeah, I don't understand that criticism at all. It was weird.
Yeah, I saw some of that popping up on social, and I'm like, no, this is what you do. I mean, if you give Jordan Love 20 seconds, nobody's sitting at home watching comfortably late in that game. They're not. So they were close to scoring with almost no time left on the clock. So I think for me, my biggest takeaway is it just kind of looked different and the Bears look like they belong. And yes, they are coming off a win against Philly. They had the win against Pittsburgh. Green Bay's legit. And the Bears were right there. They fought them hard, slow first half, bit them, as you said. But those were two teams that look like real playoff teams, and it looked like playoff football at Lambeau.
No, I agree with you on that piece. I think they looked, you know, very competitive. They certainly were not outclassed. They certainly were not out of their league. And that's where you want to be when you talk about, you know, the best teams in football. You want to be in those games. You want to be in those conversations. And the Bears certainly were. Now it's just about taking advantage of those opportunities, making those little plays that allow you to win those games as opposed to just be in those games. And you look at, you know, the touchdown you give up before the half, that's inexcusable. That can't happen. It was a bad combination between special teams and defense. You just can't have those types of things in those types of games. It's fine to do that against the Cincinnati Bengals this season when they were poor and didn't have their quarterback. And it's fine to do that against, you know, Jackson Dart and the Giants. But it's not okay to do that at Lambeau against the Packers. So, you know, you learn and you move on. They get another opportunity at those guys in a couple of weeks, but they better not overlook the Cleveland Browns and that defense that's coming to the lakefront.
Yeah, and he was brought up yesterday, and just such a bummer of a season for Kyler Gordon, who I think if fully healthy, Dennis Allen would be able to do a lot with Kyler Gordon, especially the blitz packages that Allen likes to dial up. We've seen what he's done with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And look, this is not a shot at C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's been a great addition to the Bears. But he was in a tough spot a few times on Sunday at Lambeau. And I don't know how much you can expect from him on one-on-one coverage when Dennis Allen is sending the whole house. He got burned a couple times, Herb. But those are situations you would have loved to see Kyler Gordon, who you're paying all this money, be out there for those situations. But and I don't know if we're going to see Kyler Gordon the rest of the season or what, but he got hurt in pregame, and with four games to go, I don't know if we're going to see him. But that's just such a disappointment, especially after the contract they gave him, and especially the sort of player he is. I think when fully healthy, Kyler Gordon can be a Pro Bowl, maybe even an All-Pro level defensive player. That's how highly I think of Kyler Gordon. But a real bummer for Gordon, who looks like he's going to miss some more time here, Herb.
I agree with you. I think that Kyler Gordon is a phenomenal, phenomenal player. He has the worst luck with these injuries, and he just can't seem to overcome them with these soft tissue issues. But you look at him and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and it's just a different skill set. You love having C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You love him in that short area range where he's, you know, 12 to 15 yards, and he's great there. He can come up and support in the run game. We saw him get an interception in that range as well. Yesterday, we've seen him come off the edge and get some big-time sacks for us. But when you're talking about man-to-man coverage, you know, deep crosses, he doesn't have that level of speed where Kyler Gordon is able to stick with those guys. And so just two different skill sets. It's unfortunate that Kyler wasn't able to go. And I don't know, you know, if he's going to be able to go anymore this season. But it's just unfortunate because I too believe that he is one of the better not only nickel players, but just versatile players in the National Football League that can do so many things for you. And I would love to see how DA could deploy him if he were healthy over a course of 6-8 weeks and what that would look like.
Caleb Williams, let's get to Caleb. Where are you at with Caleb? What's the Herb Howard Caleb Williams report card looking like?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's got to continue to progress. I think that, you know, you talk about a second-year quarterback. He's on his, you know, third head coach, his fourth coordinator. There's a lot that he's dealing with, and so I give him all the grace and time. I think, you know, some people are being impatient with him. I still think his trajectory is, you know, certainly pointed up. I still think he can be a great, great player in this league. That being said, the next step in his development is he's got to make the layups. He's got to be able to take those easy throws and just be accurate with the football, especially again early in the games. Take advantage of those opportunities. He seems to get a little excited. His mechanics breaks down. His elbows drop. His feet get a little wide, and the ball gets to sail on him on some of these throws. He's got to be able to make the layups. We see the special. We saw it again, you know, Sunday at Lambeau. The throw he makes to OZ is absolutely insane. I have no clue how he gets that ball in there, but I also don't have any clue how he misses DJ on the drag route earlier when he sails it 30 feet in the air. Like, I just, these are the types of things that are going to be next up for him, is just being able to take those layups and also then just having the situational awareness. Those things will come. I don't have any issue with Caleb Williams right now. He just has to start faster and be more accurate with his throws.
I've kind of been joking this season that Caleb needs to be trailing to be good. There's like a different sort of urgency, you know, and we kind of saw it at Lambeau. Yeah. I don't know what it is. We know how much he loves the spotlight. We know how great he is late in games. But there's just, I don't know. It's just, it takes him a little bit to get going and maybe find the rhythm. And as you said, early on in that game at Lambeau, football was all over the place, Herb. He was not accurate at all. They weren't able to stack first downs. Had the one completion of Colston. That ended up being called an incomplete pass. So he definitely, it's almost like he needs that extra pressure a little bit. It's like that's more of his comfort zone than just managing a game in a way.
Yeah, he's able to calm down and just kind of play. He's not thinking as much, just kind of going through his own process, letting his skill set take over. A friend of mine told me just the other day that, you know, people need to lie to me about the starting times of events because I am chronically late to things all the time. And they just need to tell you that it starts an hour before it does, and then you might actually be on time. Probably need to tell Caleb in the locker room pregame that we're down 10.
Right.
Like, we're losing.
Right.
Caleb, we're down 10 right now.
Yes.
Go make it happen right now, and then maybe he'll come out and play the first quarter the way he does the fourth.
Yeah, you know, too, I went down some Caleb YouTube hole on earlier in the year, just watching some old highlights and stuff from his college days, even high school. And when Caleb was going into college, he was viewed as a dual threat quarterback. I mean, they're showing highlights of analysis and scouts and the way people view Caleb Williams. And when he was drafted, we all knew he could, the athleticism was there, and he absolutely is a pass first quarterback. But I think that maybe not here now because we've seen it so much, but people, it's like they underestimate his running ability. And there were a few times in Green Bay where he was able to escape pressure. I thought for sure he was going down. I don't really know what my question is, Herb, other than we continue to watch Caleb make these crazy plays, and his legs are a huge weapon, even if it's not a run-first quarterback, which is great. Be a pass-first quarterback. He continues to impress with his escapability.
He's able to bail them out of bad situations. Offensive lineman gets beat. He's able to cover up for that mistake. Or we've heard Coach Johnson say, hey, he covered up for my mistake for calling a bad play against a certain look, and we got caught in a bad look, and Kevin was able to bail out and make a play when there is none. I mean, Micah Parsons was all over the football field on Sunday, and he's constantly in the backfield, and Caleb is constantly eluding him. That had to be super frustrating for Micah Parsons. He's chasing him all over the field all game, and then the Bears get the run game going in the second half, and they're just leaning on him, and you can see how tired he was down the stretch. But I think there's a play where I think it might have been Nixon, the guy who finished with the pick. I think it was Keyshawn Nixon, and he came untouched, like up the A or B gap, right in Caleb's face. There wasn't much room for him to move out of it, but he somehow kind of like ducked under it, stepped out, ran and got the first down. So he's got that special thing, that escapability that he needs to have. And once he starts combining that with making those layups, it's going to be scary.
Yeah, the consistency is what we're all looking for out of Caleb Williams. But I think evaluating his season now through 13 games, imagine where the Bears would be without Caleb Williams this year. They would not be 9-4. They would not be 9-4. They would not, you know. And has he been great? At times, yeah. Has he been bad? A little bit at times. He's just kind of been a good, solid quarterback this year, and he's done some amazing things when they really need it. But imagine Caleb not in the equation here. This season does not play out the way it has without Caleb Williams, and I think that says a lot.
Yeah, I think, you know, his special ability has bailed them out of tough situations. I will say this. These are tough situations that they've put themselves in and time again. And then we praise them for, oh, they've been so good in these one-score games. Well, these didn't have to be one-score games. You were up 14 in Cincinnati with 3 minutes to go. How does this even turn into a one-score game? You know what I mean? And so those type of situations, they did put themselves in. But if you are in that situation, you want 18 under center. And he's been special, and he's bailed them out, and he's been – consistently finding ways to make those plays late in football games, including that very Cincinnati game. And so, you know, listen, you can critique them if you want, and certainly I do in terms of how they start the game, but you're glad that he's on your team when the chips are on the line.
So the Bears go from facing probably the best pass rusher in the NFC to probably the best pass rusher in the NFL in Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. This is a game, Herb, where you were just saying, like, this is one you would love to see them pull away late, no dramatics late, take care of business at home, and then it's you're back to facing the Packers. Shedeur Sanders threw for over 350 yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
They should win this game, and I think they're going to win this game. I just feel like it's going to be more close than it needs to be, and it won't be a comfortable victory for the Bears.
Listen, that Cleveland Browns defense is legit,
yes. And
it's led by Myles Garrett, like you just said. He's going to be a problem no matter what you do. Every offensive coordinator spends the entire week saying, let's not let 95 wreck our day, and then he goes out there and wrecks your day. He's capable of things that very few people have been capable of in the history of the National Football League. So you just got to deal with him as best you can. The Bears better be focused this week. I mean, I understand it's sandwiched in between two Green Bay games, and I'm sure they have that in the back of their mind, just like the entire city and Bears Nation has the next Green Bay game in the back of their mind. But if they don't come out here focused that Cleveland defense is capable of limiting their scoring opportunities, and then you got this rookie quarterback who's now playing with a ton of confidence and thinks they can put up points and yards, the Bears better come out there and play that game, because you lose that game and now you're kind of taking some of the shine and shimmer off of this season and what it could be. And then you're fighting to get back into the postseason. And then you got Green Bay on the road to San Francisco, and then you bring in the Lions, and that's just tough. So the Bears had better be focused. They better go out there with intentionality and find a way to play well early and hold on to that same level of play late and go out there and win a game, which I agree with you. They absolutely should win. I will definitely be picking them to win, but they aren't good enough to dismiss the Cleveland Browns and bypass them looking ahead to next week.
Four games to go in the regular season. How many more games do the Bears win this year, Herb, in the regular season?
They got to win three, I think. Somebody was on my show in the comments today, and they were like, the Bears have to win out. And I was like, they don't have to win out. I don't think that's true. I think coming into those last five games, once they were 9-3 and in first place, I was like, okay, well, if they go at least 3-2, they'll get them to 12-5, and I think that'll still have them well positioned. Whether or not that's going to be good enough for the top seed in the playoffs or not, but it'll certainly get them into the tournament. And so I think they've got to win at least three of these games, and I think they're capable of doing that. Starts this week with taking care of business against the Cleveland Browns. Get the Green Bay Packers coming back and get an opportunity to beat them. You go out to San Francisco, that's always a tough place. The Bears went out there last year and got absolutely mollywopped. They'll certainly play better this year. And then you welcome in the Detroit Lions. We'll see what that game even means, that Week 18 game. It could mean everything. It could mean nothing. So we'll see what comes by that time. But I think the Bears can win three games. They'll find themselves at 12-5 and looking for a postseason run.
Yeah, that last game of the year could, as you said, be everything. That could be a win-and-get-in situation. We'll see how these next few weeks unfold. But a winnable game Sunday at Soldier Field, take care of business, and then it's a quick turnaround, already Packer week next week, Saturday showdown on the 20th. But Bears-Browns Sunday at Soldier Field. Herb, I know you'll be there. I'll be there. It's going to be a cold one. And I appreciate you jumping on once again, Herb. Always great stuff.
Always a pleasure, KP. Thanks for having me.
That is Herb Howard from the Bigs. Thanks to Herb. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.